You're a wizard, Harry.
Welcome to the Harry Potter Book Club for the Prisoner of Azkaban with
Sarah Tompkins,
Vijaya Shrestha,
and I'm Michael DeMauro. This week we discuss Chapter 14, Snape's Grudge. We go into what our own Patronus would be, and the battle for the Quidditch Cup continues. We are back for another tense week of the Quidditch Cup. We have been going for 14 weeks straight.
14!
The live stream some of them haven't even left for food.
I think they might be dead.
Been subsisting?
They could be dead.
I was kind of hoping, that I'd get like a delivery right now to my room because just by imagining it, because I haven't eaten really that much. So, but no, it's fine.
They've been talking about, like, pizza and everything else in the live stream chat room, but they haven't...
I'm always thinking about
actually getting them delivered. I don't know. Craig said that his bunker is well-stocked, so we all need to be in Craig's bunker.
That's dirty. Vijaya, you're up first this week.
Okay. Oh, this is one of my favorite questions that I wrote down this week. What sweets did Scabbers used to really like, according to Ron?
Fizzing Whizbees.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
Levitating sherbert.
No. Fudge flies.
Gross. That's
okay,
disgusting.
I'm ready.
I don't think they're actual flies.
They might be.
Okay.
Well, I mean, knowing who Scabbers is, hopefully he won't. On to you, Sarah.
Which spell makes glasses repel water?
Ah, fuck.
Ding, ding, ding.
Michael.
Impervium.
I know. Impervio.
Nope.
God damn it.
Gotta throw me a half. You gotta throw me a half on that, right?
Half point for Michael. For sure, half point for Michael. It's impervious.
What did I say?
But half point for Michael.
What did I say?
Impervious. You said impervium.
Okay, I didn't say impervio. Yeah, that sounds right.
But it's impervious.
God damn it.
So half point for Michael.
Damn it. Okay, now it's me. Is it not? Yes, it is. On the night bus, what are two of the extras you get when you pay 15 sickles?
God damn it.
Sarah?
You get a bed and a toothbrush.
That is incorrect.
What?
I said two of the extras.
I see you get a toothbrush.
Oh, shoot.
Vijaya.
Toothbrush and a daily profit.
Yeah, you're more wrong than Sarah. Sarah, you gotta have a point. You get a bed for 11 sickles. If you pay 15 sickles, you also get hot chocolate, an hot water bottle, and a toothbrush in the color of your choice.
So do I get a half point?
Yeah, half point.
Okay.
Stupid.
I was like, you get a bed and a toothbrush if it covers your choice.
I didn't know you got all that
sweet.
Other shit.
Yeah, you get a lot of shit.
Oh yeah. That's true. But and your JK recommends that you don't get the hot chocolate because it will spill on you and hurt you. That is her recommendation. I forgot about that.
You don't want to do that.
Don't want to do
everybody,
that.
Everybody, Michael has 12.5 points. He's doing great. Sarah's got 10.5, and Bajaj's got 8. See you next week.
Yikes.
Chapter 14, Snape's Grudge. So, if we all remember, last chapter, Sirius Black was about to cut up old Ronnie Dingles, but then he didn't.
Hooray!
And so you guys hate Ron.
I don't hate Ron. Actually, I feel like I identify most with Ron in many ways. So continue.
So Black has managed to escape. He's gotten out. They weren't able to capture him again. And everywhere you look, security is being tightened. Filch is like covering up mouse holes and ridiculous things.
Does he think Sirius Black is just shrinking himself? I guess
if they don't know how he got in, like if you're a wizard, like any opening is an invitation. And then I was like, oh.
What if, just like McGonagall, he's an animagus and he can turn into a rat?
That's ridiculous.
And then he could go right through those rat holes.
What was that show
on Nickelodeon? It's not Clarissa.
Alex Mack, Secret World, yes, of Alex Mack, where she was the slut, she could turn into silver chemical stuff.
Yeah. That's what
did you just call her a slut?
Sludge.
Oh.
I heard slut too.
I was like, she was a slut, so she could get in anywhere, guys. I'm just saying.
Ew.
Anyway.
Sorry, Alex Mack.
Sir Cadogan has gotten the sack. He's out. The fat lady is back, but like she demands to have security trolls, which in my head, I never really imagined there actually being like two actual security trolls there.
Imagine them being in the portrait.
Oh, you think they're in the portrait?
I
took it very literally.
Maybe I'm wrong.
I took it very literally, but that seems crazy too. because they're always talking about how trolls are so dumb. I don't know. Anyway,
not all trolls, Michael.
But I have Rob is a celebrity. Those are not good notes. Ron is a celebrity now.
Rob is too.
This is the silver lining. He is loving it. He's like more popular than Harry. Everybody's coming up to him, asking him for the story, which he is gladly giving to them in great detail.
God, you have to keep that under wraps. Movie rights, Rob.
So after he finishes talking to like some, second years or whatever, he's like, why did Black run away? Like, he could have just... He's not afraid to murder lots of people. He was in a room with like five sleeping unarmed boys. Like, why didn't he just cut everybody up?
Yeah.
So they're kind of confused.
Thankful that he didn't.
Well, sure.
Right, but logically, but, you know what I mean?
But just like, yeah, what's up with him?
But I mean, serial killers, you never really know. You never know.
Oh, boy. As happy as Ron/Rob is, that's how sad Neville is. Mm. He's gotten banned from everything. He can't go to Hogsmeade anymore. He's not even allowed to know the password to the common room. He just has to wait for somebody else to let him in.
That seems not good.
Yeah, and then his grandmother sent him a howler. Ugh, it is bad all over for Neville. He's a very sad
boy. Poor kid. He made a mistake.
He did.
Never.
Almost got everyone murdered.
I know.
So Harry and Ron go to visit Hagrid. It's been a while. And they, realize like, oh yeah, we haven't talked to Hagrid in a while. And, it turns out it's Buckbeak's trial on like Friday.
God. Ooh, this is a real week.
Remember how they promised that they were going to help him sort of prepare for the trial and
that actually like
do research.
This like actually is like one of the things in like all of the books that breaks my heart the most. Is that they promise they're going to help him, and then they're like, oh, we were going to do that, weren't we? And he's sad because he was relying on their help, and oh my god, I hate when people disappoint other people.
Stupid Rob and Paddy.
But, I mean, to be fair, there was a firebolt involved, so how are they supposed to think about people's pets getting murdered?
Wasn't Rob the one that was mad about his pet being murdered?
That's true. Rob. So yeah, I have a feeling Hagrid was like sitting back and being like, well, if one of the three of them's going to come and help me, at least it's Hermione.
That's true. He probably was like, I don't want the other two to help me. Please do not help
Harry
me.
Harry wouldn't be able to put two and two together. It'd be a mess.
So, but he actually has brought them there because he wants to give them the business about how mean they are being to Hermione. And, you know, he's like, you know, I thought friendship was would be more important to you guys than some stupid broomstick or yada, yada, yada. And, you know, it turns out she has been helping him. And Hagrid kind of makes a good point, and they kind of feel a little bit bad, but then immediately go right back to being super mean to Hermione. They go back to the castle. It turns out it's a Hogsmeade weekend, and I mean, to be fair, Hermione is like I'm gonna tell, like the first thing she says to them is, I'm gonna tell on you guys if you go to Hogsmeade, which is not a great way to open things up if you guys are already a little icy. But yeah, Ron is just being a real piece of shit. he's just, you know, what are you going to tell on us? You know, he's being a real jerk. So after they're done with Hermione, Harry's like, but I'm going to go anyway. Right. And, you know, Ron's like, yeah, we're going to go. You're totally going to go. So he's just like, I'll wear my cloak. It's one of the three Deathly Hallows. It's infallible. Oh, sorry. yeah, so they're going to go. He's going to be invisible.
That I almost got. My best friend got killed by, but yeah, Hogsmeade, that's more important.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to get that butterbeer, you know?
How are they going to get it? So the Hogsmeade weekend comes, and Harry's like, okay, everybody, see you later. And, like, Ron and winks at him.
He does the whole, like, going downstairs behind a couch.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Stuffs his pillows, like, under his blanket, you know. Ferris Bueller's at, like, with a string to the door. And
Poor Neville, like, definitely wants to hang because he also can't go. What with him being banned and all, and Harry's like, and then Snape shows up and is like, "What are you two doing here?" Everyone's like, "You can't go anywhere." If like Snape or Filch shows up, it can be like middle of the day, in between classes. Like they're gonna come after you.
Spanish Inquisition. Wow, Inquisition.
So he's like, what are you up to? And he sends him back to their common room. But Harry just watches the Marauder's map, and he goes back when the coast is clear. And sure enough, he heads over to old Hogsmeade, and he has a good old time.
Yeah.
He goes and, you know, he sees the post office, which is kind of weird that that's their first stop.
I mean... Who doesn't love a good post office? All those stamps and
Hogwarts has owls, right?
Don't they have a an owlry where they keep all of their owls? Yeah. It's like a tower full of poop.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They do. I mean, so I don't know. They go there.
I hang out at USPS outlets all the time, so
that makes sense. Then they go to Zonko's, they buy tons of stuff, lots of, what are they, stink pellets or something? I forget. They're always buying some
smelly
bomb. That's all they ever buy. And then they don't, it's like a really nice day, so they don't feel like going and sitting in a tavern or whatever. So they go and they're like, let's go check out the Shrieking Shack. That's always good for a laugh. And so they're just walking over, and who's there but Malfoy and his two toadies, and they're like, as they're walking up, they're like mid sentence about how, like, you know, Hagrid's stupid hippogriff is going to get its head cut off, and so they're all mad. They see Ron, and they're like, oh yeah, there's only Ron by himself. We're gonna have some fun now.
Beat him up.
But Harry's there and he's invisible.
What?
Yeah, so of course he takes advantage and starts throwing mud at the back of their heads and stuff. It is hilarious. He, like, throws a stick at one of them, man. And all sorts
comedy.
Of sloppy mud is going everywhere.
But, like, if you're throwing mud, like, isn't that, like, starting to, isn't that going to get all over your cloak? You're going to start seeing that?
Maybe it's water repellent and mud repellent.
Maybe.
I mean, maybe, like, they would see his hand for a second.
I can't even eat, like, a sandwich without it getting all over my clothes. I don't know.
That sounds like a personal problem.
I have so many problems.
So at one point, Harry trips, I think it was Crab, and the cloak, he gets like caught on his foot, and suddenly Harry's head pops out of nowhere, like just his head, and Malfoy sees it. And so Malfoy just starts booking it for the castle. And Harry's like, oh, God, no. And so he runs back as well. And so, you know, he's just charging back as fast as he can get there. And he comes out of the passage and, you know, Snape comes running up. And he's like, ha-ha, I've got you, Harry Potter. I finally, after all this time.
Like, he doesn't remember that Dumbledore loves Harry Potter.
I don't know. So, you know, he's like, he basically accuses Harry's head of being in Hogsmeade. And he's like, your head's not allowed in Hogsmeade. And then he just starts being like, this is the stuff with Snape where it is so uncool and
wildly inappropriate as an educator.
Yeah, and he's right. Like, he starts going on about, he's trying to goad Harry into like giving up the goods or whatever. And he starts being like, you know, you're just like your dad, and you know, your dad would have done the same stuff. And he's just telling Harry how his dad sucks so hard. And Harry's like,
yeah, that's a good thing to say as a teacher.
Right. And so Harry's like, I know why you hate my dad. He's like, you hate him because he saved your life. And Snape is just, he is not having it. And so he explains to Harry how it was really James's fault that his life was in danger in the first place. James and his friends were going to play a joke on him that would have had him killed, would have got him killed. But then, you know, James stopped it at the last minute because he would have gotten in trouble. He would have gotten kicked out or whatever. So he's really just doing it to save his own skin, not because he's really heroic. Right.
Oh, so it's completely justified that he's mean to this poor child whose parents have both been killed. That's cool. His
parents were dicks. Take it out on the child. That's what I do.
Uh-huh. So he's like, so turn out your pockets. And Harry's like, oh, shit. Because his pockets are full of Zonko products.
No.
God, you need like an invisibility satchel or something.
Pockets.
Yeah, he left his invisibility cloak back in the.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, gotta throw all that stuff in.
So he can't see the shit.
Mm-hmm. But he also has the Marauder's map. Which is blank.
Well, good.
Yeah. And Snape's like, what's this? And he's like, oh, it's just a spare bit of parchment. And he's like, oh, really? Do you mind if I throw it in the fire? And Harry's like, no.
But also,
when you act casual, Harry.
How weird is it that like he'd be like this part? Because it really does look just like an old piece of parchment. Like, oh, so right. I'm gonna take this parchment, and throw it in the fire. What kind of messed up adult are you to do that to a kid? That's weird.
I think he's just doing it so he could see if it was important to him or not.
I know, but for all intents and purposes, it is just a piece of parchment paper. Could you imagine like if somebody came up to you and was like, oh, what is this? And you're like, oh, it's a movie stub or whatever. And somebody's like, I'm going to rip it up in front of your face. Like, that's just fudged up, man. I don't know.
Yeah. So he's trying to get it to work. And he is like, reveal your secrets to me, piece of paper. I am the master of Hogwarts. He like literally says he's the master of Hogwarts. Like, what is going on with you, Snape? Like, you're not even the headmaster. How are you the master of... Anyway. But this piece of paper is a real cut-up and is like, you should wash your hair, Snape, and your nose is really big. And I can't believe an idiot like you became a professor. And you know, it's like... Because it says, like, Messrs. Mooney says, you're a piece of shit. And it goes on and on like that. And it says all the Mooney and Padfoot prongs and Wormtail and all that stuff. And so a little light bulb goes off and Snape's like, Lupin! And so he brings in Lupin.
That was a very good voice.
Yeah, that was my impression of him. So he brings in Lupin And he's like, you know, what's with this map, Lupin? And Lupin's like, oh, it looks like it's just a piece of parchment. You get it at a joke shop. It just insults. It insults whoever tries to read it or whatever. And Snape's like, don't you think Harry got it directly from the manufacturer? And at this point, Ron bursts in. He's run the whole way. And he's like, I gave Harry that stuff. I got it at Zonko's a long time ago.
That seems more suspicious, Rob.
Come on, Rob. Keep it together.
But like Lupin just goes with it. And he's like, oh, there you go. Problem solved. I'll just take all this stuff and see you later. And so he grabs Harry and somehow that works. And they're free.
What's his face? Just let him go.
Well, Snape has like, right? Snape has zero actual authority to do any of this. Like, this is not Soviet Russia. He can't just ask for his papers or current day America. You can't just demand to see someone's papers and then set on fire in front of their face because, you know what I mean? There's due process.
We used to have freedoms.
Due process. So
here's the kicker. Lupin, you know, takes Harry aside and, like, he's like, yeah, I know this is a map.
What?
And I know that it was once confiscated.
How does he know all this?
And he's like, and then he makes Harry feel worse than he's felt all day. And he's like, I can't believe you wouldn't have turned this in. You know, how are you, you're gambling your parents' sacrifice for a bag of crap from the joke shop? Like, you know, that's just terrible. And Harry does not. He's like, ooh, yeah, that does not make me look very
that's
good.
Heavy.
So Lupin's like, I'm going to keep the map. And then somehow he goes on about how the map makers would have wanted to lure him out of the school and would have thought it was really funny and stuff. You know the people who made the map? He's like, yes, I've met them.
Is that where they leave it, though? They're not like, who was it?
Yeah, and he's just like, I'm going to keep it. I'm keeping this map. And that was pretty much the end of it.
It's totally mine now.
Yeah. Hermione shows up and Ron still is like, oh, you come to gloat because, you know, we got caught. And she's like, no, I just came to tell you that Hagrid lost his case and Buckbeak's going to be executed.
Oh, my God. Ron, you're a dick.
God, this is the worst.
No wonder Sarah identifies with Ron.
Because I'm the worst.
That's the end of the chapter.
Yay.
Or no.
That was a depressing chapter.
Yeah, people were not very nice to each other in that chapter.
Yeah, they haven't been very nice to each other in a while, to be honest.
Yeah.
There
aren't really new things so much, but there are a couple new concepts.
Okay.
Which, one being that James Potter might not have been this perfect sparkling hero who never did any wrong.
Yeah. No, some that's seeds wrong. Of that's wrong.
Some very small seeds of doubt planted. I don't know if it'll ever come up again, but that's a thing. And then there's like Lupin. Like there's something going on with Lupin that we don't, you know, we don't know. I'm stretching for new things here, but like, you know, there's something about him that we don't know what's going on. He knows these map makers.
Right.
He's not telling. Yeah, he knew it was a map.
And also, by the way, he kind of implies that he knows what the map does, too, because he's like,
right.
Why would you have this? This is gambling. You're like, he knows that it's going to help him. It's in some way helping Harry, you know, get out of the castle and or have somebody locate him, I guess. Although, I know we talked about the map recently. So we talk about how it learns stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't remember if we talked about that. Because the fact that it says, you know, like, you can't believe, you know, basically insulting Snape about being a professor. Obviously, when it was created, he wasn't a professor. So that's something that the map has learned over time. I guess it knows your...
No, well, I think in the map segment, in the Pottermore, I think they put in insults for Snape specifically because they hated him so much. And then later when he says, I'm Professor Snape.
Oh, okay. Could remember that he said he's a professor.
I guess
professor.
It learned that he is a professor now. But
Totally. Yeah. I forgot that he identifies himself prior to that. Okay. Yeah. I feel better.
That's how much they hated Snape that they were just like, you know, let's go ahead and put in ready-built insults for him.
I mean, why wouldn't you?
And I mean, the map is smart enough to be able to like come up with new insults for Snape, you know, that's a weird amount of artificial intelligence to be inside of a map.
Hey, if you want to spend a lot of time on certain algorithms, you know, some are worth it.
I guess so. And I guess my only question was like, why does Snape kind of like dance around the stuff with the map? Like he obviously knows that Lupin must know their nicknames, right? Like he must know that that's them because he called Lupin as soon as he heard the nickname.
Right, and is that ever addressed? I feel like it's not.
No, maybe he knew their names, and that's the only thing. But maybe that he never knew about the actual map. Maybe like it was a thing that he thought. Maybe he suspected them of having and developed, but maybe. I bet he really knew about it.
I bet he knew their nicknames, though. Because I feel like that's something they would call each other. So if he saw that, he'd be like, oh, I know who made this piece of crap.
Right. Yeah. Like, I don't think he knows what the map is, but he clearly knows that Lupin is involved with it. And it's just bizarre that he would not follow through with that. Like, he would just be like, let him... Lupin take it and go and all that stuff.
I mean, what else is he going to do, though? Like, what would he... Honestly, what could he do? Even if he brought it to Dumbledore, he's like, this map is insulting me. Or this he's going to know it's a map. Right. This parchment is insulting me. Like, you can't... As a teacher, there's not really any disciplinary action you can really take. I mean, I guess theoretically, like, Harry could get, like, a detention for saying something bad about a teacher that he didn't actually say. I don't know. I just feel like, what is he going to actually do about it? Right. I mean, although that has never stopped Snape before from, you know, doling out unjust punishment.
Sure. I just think it's weird that he didn't, that like he would for some reason feel it necessary to hide from like Harry and Ron that he understood as much as he did about like,
that's, you know, true. That
well, Lupin him, made, maybe made him, the map. Maybe him calling Lupin over to begin with. Like, is him telling Lupin, hey, look, I know you have something to do with it. Like, he didn't have to spell it out in front of the shitheads that were there. I was being sweet there. Do you think Dumbledore ever, like, reprimanded Snape harshly or even, like, a little bit? I know he tells them from time to time to, like, go easy on the kid.
Calm down.
Snape's like... Yeah, Snape's like, he's just as terrible as his dad. At that point, I'd be like, yeah, you need to just take it down a notch, you know?
Right. Yeah, they don't have a real solid grasp on appropriate teacher behavior, but...
No.
Someday we're going to have a whole discussion about occlumency lessons and what the hell that whole fiasco is about.
Oh my god, I can't wait till we can talk about that.
Not today. Yeah. Not today.
But I agree. Like, but at the same time, it was interesting because the chapter... Even though it's mostly about, like, going out to Hogsmeade and all the stuff, blah, blah, it is called Snape's Grudge, which, you know, so that's interesting. So it is literally just about how Snape is holding on to that, man. Mm-hmm. That stuff will kill you.
Let it go. Let it go.
Do you guys have anything else for this, or?
No,
I really
don't. Right, well.
Good job, Michael.
Nicely done.
10 out of 10 stars.
20 points to Ravenclaw.
Hey, everybody. We're back, and we're going to do a fun segment about Patronus. It's actually Patronuses.
Patroni.
It's not Patroni. It's Patronuses. But we have a special guest, and we have with us Kevin. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, everyone.
Hey, Kevin.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
We're very excited to have you here.
Excited about talking about Patronus.
Patronuses.
I am so excited.
Excellent. So how can so I don't Kevin, we don't know a lot. I don't know a lot about you. I'm interested in finding out more. Like, how did you find us? How did we come into your lives?
Well, actually, a friend directed me to Drunks and Dragons.
Okay, that's a good podcast.
And from there, I went to Random Encounters. Nice. I listened to Norhall, Bruce Fort, Top 5. And nice. Then you started a Harry Potter podcast. And I am a Harry Potter fan, so nice. I started listening.
Yay!
Awesome.
Thank you for listening.
So have you been a Harry Potter fan for a long time? Or?
I started reading them, I think, when the third came out, the movies.
So long
was
time.
Was it before the movies?
Yeah.
I don't know. When did the movies start coming out? I think, probably around the third, right? Maybe fourth?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that definitely beats me, because I think I didn't start until the fourth. I mean, it might have been the fifth that I was the first one that I read.
It was always really hard, because I didn't have any other friends that were into Harry Potter, so I had to kind of downplay it, or else...
I know these feelings. I know these feelings. But you know, now we have the internet and we can just, you know, find our like-minded friends and that's
true. Thank goodness for internets.
Right?
I think it every day.
I wouldn't be spending every Tuesday talking about Harry Potter.
Right? Some things in this world are not terrible. Anyway, so I think I know that I have personally on the podcast probably 7 or 8 times mentioned my deep regret after going through and getting my Patronus, which was a dragonfly.
It's the closest to a dragon you're going to get in reality.
I mean, I like dragons.
Is it a really big dragonfly or...
That's like if it's a giant dragonfly, then that would be.
In fairness, Michael,
a lot cooler.
In fairness, that's like a top 5 thing that scares me.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense. That's probably why it's like the latent thing in me is that it's a thing that's scary to Sarah.
But she's also scared of moths. So.
They're my number one thing that scares me.
Yeah.
Michael, I'm kind of surprised your Patronus isn't a phoenix.
Oh, well, man.
No, he's not allowed to have it. It's not good. He's not good enough for it.
Speaking of old wounds.
Yeah, it's definitely, I don't think it's a giant dragon. I think it's just
it's a tiny one.
I think it's just a regular
dragonfly. It just flits around. I catch Michael's Patronus and tie a string on its tail.
Aw, cute.
No, I don't think this is aired yet, but we talked about Patronuses last time we recorded, and one of the bits was you know, but like one of the most famous Patronuses of all time was this mouse that held off a whole horde of Dementors, and then I was just like, a dragonfly is smaller than a mouse.
I don't think that's aired yet.
if your dragonfly did it, then it would be even more famous than that mouse.
Right. also, you could sneak into better places because, like, if you're a big animal, you know, you can fly. I don't know.
This it's going down the creepy alley now.
You got good. You got wings. You got a nice.
Are they? I'm trying to think.
They got some translucent wings. Actually, this is a weird, weird thing that I have right here, but I do have this.
Whoa.
Yeah, so.
That's the listeners at home, is it dragonfly art?
It was given to me as a gift when I left my last job, but.
Is it a real dragonfly they killed for you?
It looks like one of those things that's beneath glass.
It is a sacrificial dragonfly. I keep it so that I can think about how I can defeat Michael and in anything I do.
Someday I'll be under glass.
Just pinned right down.
If we don't hear from Michael from his visit to DC,
he's just gone. So, question then: if you don't like what you got on the very very recent, I will say it is very recent, Pottermore quiz, What do you think that your Patronus actually is then, Michael?
I mean, I don't... So that's the other thing. And people at home will have heard this, but Alan hasn't heard it yet. So, I'm sorry, Alan has heard it because, well, I don't know if he's recorded it. But Kevin hasn't heard our whole Dementor spiel. So a lot of the time... So the thing that they said was that you don't get your favorite animal. You almost never get your favorite animal.
Right.
It's very unusual for you to get your favorite animal.
Right.
So that makes it less... It makes it harder to figure out. I just wanted something, you know, cool. Like, didn't Nika get, like, a shark or something? Like,
yeah, but Nika would get it. She would get a shark, though.
Come on!
She's so fierce.
Yeah. Right. You have to be as fierce as her.
Do you have a feeling about, like, what yours would be? Like, your spiritual twin? Your spiritual animal twin? Your peyote-inspired guide?
I don't know. That's hard to say. Because anything I say, well, I'll just have to pick something dumb. Because if I'm like, oh, I'd be a wolf or something like that.
No, if you feel like you're a wolf, you're a wolf.
I definitely don't feel like a wolf.
If you're a bird, I'm a bird.
You're a bird.
I don't know. I'd probably be like a possum or some stupid animal.
Hey, they are terrifying as well. Have you ever seen one of those?
They are terrifying.
They are scary. They are some resilient mother effers.
You're a skunk.
Big ol' rats. So I don't know. I feel like, I guess I wonder, like, you know, Ron is a Jack Russell Terrier?
Yeah.
They never really talk about it, but, like, I have to assume that he's just his Patronus is Jack Russell Terrier sized, right? No one ever has said, they're different sizes or anything. So I just have this tiny little fucking... Little itty-bitty.
They look about life size in the movie,
Yours could be really sneaky then. Like a secret Patronus. That could have its advantages, right?
I guess.
Like a Dementor is just going about its business and all of a sudden it's like, what is this thing in my face? Oh my god.
I think I would be more go ahead.
What if you do catch a Patronus and the Dementor just flicks it off?
I know, right? They could. Or not even notice it. I will say that if I got a salmon like Sarah's sister, I would probably be more upset.
She was like, we were talking and she was like, what did you get? And I was like, oh, I got a bay stallion. And she's like, what the hell? I got a salmon. And I was like, well, you're delicious.
So do you think our salmon Patronus would swim up to the Dementors, or do you think it would just like kind of flop like a dying fish?
I don't know.
Hermione,
I think it would appear just like right in front of them and like shoo them away.
Yeah,
or just look at it with its weird eyes.
It doesn't Hermione
just like? Can you imagine like a fish just like freaking you out with its like two eyes on the other side of its head?
Is that your number six fear?
No, they're delicious. Fish. Although I don't like to swim with fish that much, unless they're tropical. Lake fish are weird, but tropical fish are okay.
True.
Yeah.
Hermione's otter, I think, swims through the air like it's
that's
in water.
True. So maybe that would be better than a fish flopping up to the Dementor. Sarah,
fair enough.
That's a rough game. Do I?
Yeah.
Oh, heck yeah. But the thing is, I don't think it's accurate. I mean, I would love to be a bay stallion. So majestic. I mean, powerful. That is a big Patronus.
I went to Pottermore and I picked one, but I don't think it counted because I wasn't thinking of my happy thought when I did it.
What was that?
So.
What did you get?
Well, first time I got a platypus.
See, I think that's at least
so cool.
Fun.
They're very versatile.
Well, when I think of a platypus, I just think of Psyduck from Pokemon, and then it just all falls apart.
There you go.
But can't you hypnotize people if you're Psyduck?
Yeah, but I think then he gets a headache and it doesn't work. And
See, that's what the salmon is like. It's like a Magikarp where it just kind of flops around and doesn't do anything.
That's true. Unless it like is just like it's just swimming at you and hitting you in the face.
I guess. So did you say you somehow redid yours? Because you're not like it's a tied to your account, and I don't think they let you redo it unless you do something tricky.
Yeah, I'm not sure how I got a second one. I think it was having problems like connecting the first time.
Gotcha. Oh, gotcha. So what did you actually get second time when you were thinking about your happiest thought?
Yeah, and I did it a second time, and I'm actually one of the people that did get my spirit animal.
Ooh.
Oh.
What is that?
It said that my Patronus was a black and white cat.
Aww, I like that.
That's pretty cool.
Black and white's very specific.
Yeah. Isn't McGonagall's cat black and white?
It has the spectacle markings, yes, for sure.
I imagine it being black and white all over.
Okay.
So why is a cat your spirit animal?
I just feel like I'm a cat sometimes.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
It's like I just ate and I want to go lie down and just do nothing.
Yep.
Oh my gosh, I'm also a cat.
Wait, we're all cats in the end.
Wait a second. Duh, man.
That's pretty good. I would, so, and that's the other thing is like dogs, cats, and horses. So we do have a cat and a horse with us as a base stallion.
Right. Well, I was trying to think about what were you, Bijaya?
I was a chestnut mare and I was very upset about it.
Why?
Why? A horse is awesome. Horse.
You want to be a dog?
Of course.
A horse, of course.
I think if I had to pick one, not counting the whole you don't get to pick your favorite animal, I think I would go with a wolf.
I could see that. You're very independent and you like dogs. A wolf.
And I will rip your throat out if you come at me, bro.
I was trying to ask, I was trying to decide like what mine would actually be, because, you know, not my favorite animal or whatever, because it'd be really weird to have a giraffe or a penguin. But I asked one of my best friends, I was like, so if I was a Patronus, what would I be? And she goes, well, I think you'd be a tundra animal, which, okay. And then she said I'd either be a mink or a woodchuck. So that's what I am, apparently. And she said, well, maybe you could say ermine. I was like, ermine is still a weasel and people still wear them as coats. But apparently it's because I like the cold and I'm introverted and I would hiss at people if they came near me. So there you go.
That's hilarious. Huh. I love that explanation. But I just thought about having a giraffe as your Patronus. I know they can run fast, but whenever you see them walk, they're like walking real slow.
They're the best. I love it.
Can you imagine them charging at the
They're end? So cute and their tongues that are black. They're like, woo-hoo.
Oh, the tongues freak me out.
They're so cute. And it takes them like forever to swallow. And no, they're so cute. I love them. Did you know that they just found out that there are many different species of giraffe, like 7 or 8, and now they're endangered because they thought there was only one species? Yeah. No, giraffes are awesome, guys.
So can I tell a quick terrible story about giraffes?
You sure can.
Yeah.
Because it's not my Patronus, guys. I decided it's my favorite animal.
So I grew up in New Jersey, everyone's favorite state, who no one will make fun of.
Which is in Africa. Got it.
What?
New Jersey. It's on the eastern coast of Africa. Continue.
So in New Jersey, they have Six Flags Great Adventure, when I visited during the 80s, they would advertise it as like the largest safari outside of Africa. And you would essentially drive your car through and like you'd see all the animals. And a lot of times they would come up to your car.
Okay.
They used to have that back in California.
Yeah. Which was, you know, I mean, I don't know. Like, I was a child. I wasn't really, you know, I'm not going to say that it's nice to have whatever. I don't know if it's good for the animals.
I can't believe you supported a thing like that, Michael.
Right. So, and like, you know, the monkeys would like sit on your car, and there was a like McDonald's that you right before. and they were like, you know, don't feed the animals. But of course, like, we're like, oh, let's buy lots of French fries. And so we were in like a van, and it was like a ton of us, and my cousin was there, and the van had these little windows that open and close, like the little tiny windows that open and close, almost like a bus or something like that.
Yep.
And so we were going through the giraffe section, and we were being bad people, and again, I was a child, not my fault, and feeding them, feeding this, them.
Your age, I'm not sure how much your age is going to absolve whatever you're about to say.
So
he was 15. You know,
I was 38. So we were feeding them French fries, and we get to the giraffe section, and the giraffe's giant fucking head comes right up to the van, and it starts licking the window, and they have these like foot long purple tongues,
yeah.
And the tongue like comes Sarah's into face. Into
oh, no.
the car. And so my cousin freaks out and closes the window.
Oh no!
His tongue. Yeah.
And like for like a split second, the thing's tongue is caught and it's like trying to like pull its
but
tongue.
But it can't even like make a noise because its vocal cords are so far down its neck.
And then I mean, you know, very quickly it was its tongue was freed and it was. You know, it looked like it was kind of like, hey, that was my tongue. And it just sort of walked away. It didn't seem terribly upset. But we were very upset.
I was going to say, that actually seems like more my spirit animal, though. Because I'd just be a person if you show my tongue in a window, I'd be like, oh, that was mean. And then walk away.
That sounded like something out of a bad horror movie.
Yeah, it will stick to me with me till the day I die.
Man. Oh, no.
Man. Animal that's, cruelty alert.
That is rough. That is
but
rough.
Really, how old were you?
I was probably like 12, maybe. I don't know.
That's old enough?
Well, no, it's kind of like, know. You're like, I don't know, but at 12 too, you're kind of a jerk.
Oh, 12-year-olds are idiots. Was.
They're really mean. 12-year-olds are mean. Like a 6-year-old would be less mean.
I always very much loved animals and would not want something.
No, that's why, because you're gentle like a dragonfly.
God damn it.
Full circle.
Float like a dragonfly. Also, float like a dragonfly. I do like dragonflies like have little stinger things on their butts, don't they?
No.
I don't know. They don't hurt they don't. You.
They have I've they caught are enough you in sure? my childhood
to I've caught enough in my childhood to know that they don't have stingers or maybe they just don't sting.
I don't okay. Right I don't know.
Does anyone here have a dragonfly tattooed onto their ankle?
A girl with the dragonfly tattoo?
Well, there. Oh, that is actually, yeah. I was thinking more of like a sorority.
Mine was.
Girl.
I mean, mine is a play on that book, which actually, now that I think about it, I could do. No copyright infringement aside, but no dragonflies on my. Do you, Michael? Though you probably do, right on.
No, I just
right on your lower
I feel
back.
Like that's a. I feel like that's a popular tattoo to put on your ankle if you're in
what are you
a
saying about sorority people, Michael?
I'm being disparaging. And I'm sorry. No. I apologize.
The thing that looks like a stinger is a clasper and
oh,
the
no.
male dragonfly
it's
uses
for mating.
It to hold onto the female. Yep.
By the way, every time I see a dragonfly, they always have another dragonfly on them. Always.
They want
to
make
me. Now it's starting to make sense.
Why are you watching that? That's private time between the dragonflies.
They should be flying around and landing on me, exhibitionists.
There's apparently also a myth that says dragonflies are known as snake doctors because they can bring dead snakes back to life.
Oh my god, Michael, you are the heir of Slytherin, or the friend, the best friend of the heir of Slytherin.
Jeez.
I mean, I don't know. And you have to think about your happy thought when you conjure that. So your happy thought is either snakes are doing it.
Ew.
Or both. Ew.
Mishaya's like, no.
Doing it with a snake.
There you go.
No.
No. And our lone wolf, lone wolf, Mishaya.
I think it's
horrified.
It's interesting that one of you is a boy horse and the other one's a girl horse.
Oh, yeah, I'm a stallion.
This is me saying hello.
Hello, hello. We are going to...
Yeah, Sarah's my boyfriend. Sarah's my boyfriend Patronus.
Also, what is a bay? What is a bay stallion? Actually, I feel like there's something... I feel like in my head I read it as a bay scallion, and actually a scallion would be a lot worse.
I thought it was a horse from San Francisco, so.
Oh, that totally, actually, that totally sounds like me. Like, wow. I would have my, like, mane braided, and, like, I'd be like, yeah, man.
You would go love it. Found a startup. Bay Stallions, because they have a luxurious locks.
It's actually Bay, B-A-E. I'm Bay Stallion.
That's not true.
B-A-E.
You're making that up.
B-A-Y, right?
It is B-A-Y. I was talking about Bay, though.
I don't understand you.
Guys, that's what the hip kids are saying.
I think I was thinking it was a Palomino, but it's not. It's just you're a brown horse is what it comes down to.
So is Bajaya.
That's what I'm getting.
Yeah. But look at
Bajaya, what were you?
She's a chestnut mare.
So she's chestnut and I'm brown.
What's the difference between Bay and Chestnut?
I don't know. Well, I'm a boy. Because you're a mare, so you're a girl.
And I'm beautiful.
I feel like the chestnut is
chestnut mares.
Now
I think the chestnut's more orangey.
I'm also looking at mine, and I am.
You're darker than I am.
I am so awesome, guys. I'm part of the Mounted Police Force in New South Wales. Oh man,
Kevin, are you like a tuxedo cat?
Yeah, do you have like the fancy little boots?
No, I'm just like a spotted black and white cat.
Oh, so do your spots like? Do you have any like McGonagall has her like spectacles? Do you have like any distinguishing features of your cat?
I imagine no.
No. Okay.
Black and white? That's enough.
I wouldn't either. Patronus likes to eat and go to sleep, which I can get down with.
That's my whole MO. That's all I want to do in life, actually. So I don't know why I'm not a cat. Also, I'm moody, and if you try and touch me, I'll bite you.
Well, you both run, don't you?
What's that?
I know you've got a bad knee, didn't you? You used to run.
I run.
I started back up.
I do run.
Oh, nice.
I do run, so just like a horse. You go.
Horses run.
And I carry Wolves a small man too. On my back.
Wolves run, too.
Oh. Giraffes.
I don't run unless I need to.
Giraffes also run.
Just like a cat.
Just not well. Yes, and just like a cat, too. Michael, you fly, though.
You do what you want.
Yeah, I guess. I guess I fly. Until somebody accidentally steps on me.
Did they ever stop flying? I don't think I've ever seen one, like, sleeping on the ground or anything.
I've seen some, like, lay on or sit on flowers or stand on flowers. I don't know what they do.
Huh.
Michael. Yeah. That's me. Michael,
that's me.
Just taking in nature.
Yeah. Just sitting on flowers.
He's stopping with my clasper.
Did you say, like, Casper? Michael. Oh, with your clasper.
No, with my clasper.
My Patronus is a small boy ghost.
It's already silver.
Done. Yeah, how come are these things silver? How do you guys know if you're a bay or a chestnut?
That's
or
a black and white
cat? Pottermore told us.
Yeah, Pottermore is making stuff up.
It was very specific about black and white.
Like I think that could work. That could work because it could just be like lighter and darker, but.
But what if it's not black and white? What if it was like light and dark? You could be purple and pink.
Well, it's like how the Bloody Baron, you know, you can tell he's got a blood mark on him, even though it's not red.
What if it's just, what if it's like beet juice? What if he just likes protein shakes?
There you go. There's one answer to the blood on the Baron.
It's not blood. It's beet juice.
What if the brown on our horses is not brown, but poop?
That's true.
It could be poop horses.
It could be a poop horse.
Maybe you're poop horses.
So you're both horses covered in poop?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
We live free or die.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, I think we've covered everything we can.
Covered it in poop.
We've literally covered in poop.
I regret saying covered.
There's poop in all sorts of places.
I can't wait till we hear about our listeners' Patronuses, though. I want to know who else got a salmon.
Yeah.
Please message us and tell us your Patronus, especially if it is a dumb one like a dragonfly.
I know a bunch of people got dogs, and I was really sad about that, too.
Yeah.
Not your favorite? Yeah.
Sorry.
Sorry, Vijaya.
Sorry, Vijaya.
Thanks for joining us, Kevin, and thanks for listening.
Yeah. I'm looking
Thank
forward
Thank you for
to,
having me.
I'm looking forward to our game that we're going to do in a couple weeks, real time.
Yeah.
It's going
to
be awesome.
I'm very excited. We're going to have to start planning that because that's we need to do a little planning ahead of time. But
yeah.
I'm ready.
Okay.
I'm excited. Awesome. All right. Well, thank you, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us for You're a Wizard, Harry. Want to help out? Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating and review. Want to get in touch? Email us at potterpod@geeklyinc.com or follow us on Twitter at potterpod or geeklyinc. And individually, you can find me at thriftynerd.
I'm Bajaya Shrestha, and you can find me on Twitter at ethnicninja.
I am Sarah Tompkins, and you should hit me up at herladytompkins.
Editing help this week by Alan Matthews. Our podcast art is created by Jesse Carlton. You can find more of his work at J! On Instagram. And our music is created by Sean Fagan. Find more of his music at soundcloud.com/sleepyfish.